time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Is the sky falling? Is America about to slip off into the pit of destruction and never turn back? Is the wrath of God hanging over our nation and there's no way back? Or is that the kind of stuff we've been hearing for decades that just wears people out and makes God's name and word mocked? We're going to talk about this, and it's a subject we've hit on before, but I want to get into it a little deeper today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, or email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. I wrote a book called It's Time to Rock the Boat, which came out about 17 years ago, and just reprinted. In fact, we're waiting for the new shipment to come in. And I have a chapter in the book called The Wrath of God. And in that chapter, I talk about God's wrath being poured out through the ages. And in fact, I ask this question, fill in the blank. According to the scriptures, God says, I will pour out my blank. Well, many would immediately think spirit. God says, I'll pour out my spirit. But about 75% of the time that phrase occurs in the scripture, it occurs as God saying, I'll pour out my wrath or anger or fury. Do we preach on the wrath of God today? Do we preach on the judgment of God today? You say, I grew up in a church like that, and they just battered me. Judgment, and everything's wrong, and God's always mad and angry. And certainly the overwhelming sense we get from the New Testament is that God is love. That is the extraordinary revelation that comes pouring forth through Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. And here's something really interesting. In Luke, the fourth chapter, what is often called the platform speech of Jesus, when Yeshua stood and preached in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, he quoted from Isaiah 61, the famous words, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, etc. But he stopped short of proclaiming the day of vengeance. Many say, well, that's characteristic of the age in which we live, and then vengeance will be poured out at the end. And that'll be the culmination of this age as the Lord returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God. But other nations have risen and fallen since then. Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jewish people scattered since then. That was certainly judgment. Has it been judgment on other nations? Was there judgment on the Soviet Union? Was there judgment on Nazi Germany? Or is that just the way things happen because the systems themselves couldn't be supported? These are fair questions to ask, don't you think? And if there were prophets standing as Old Testament prophets today, I'm not denying that there are prophetic people alive today, but if there were prophets today standing as Old Testament prophets who were telling us what was happening in history, then we'd be getting clear guidelines on this, as opposed to a lot of the speculation and some people with 1,000 prophetic words and two of them proved true. They want us to listen to them. It's like, well, how can I sort out those from the 998 that weren't true and accurate? But in Romans, the first chapter, there's a picture here that's laid out. It's speaking about God's dealings in history, God's dealings with mankind, the human race in history. But I wonder how much of this is a pattern for God's dealing with any generation, with any nation. And I open this up in the chapter on the wrath of God in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. So, again, my question for you is, have we gone too far in terms of the dealings of God? Have we been given over to our sins, to our lust, to our uncleanness, to our sensuality, to our idolatry, to our greed, to the point that the only thing we can look forward to is judgment, divine judgment? Has any nation decayed as much as ours have, decayed morally, and ever turned back? Or again, is this just kind of the negative God-mocking preaching. I say God-mocking because it makes him look like this angry tyrant who's always threatening but never does anything, just beating people over the head but never does anything. Or maybe judgment comes in different forms. Maybe the greatest judgment is God withdrawing his hand. So Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So how much wrath has been revealed in our generation? Can we look at Romans 1 and apply it in that way? So what I pointed out, and this is almost 20 years ago, the first step in every civilization that falls away from the Lord is this. Although we knew God as a nation, quoting from Romans 1 now, we neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but our thinking became futile and our foolish hearts were darkened. We became fools in our supposed wisdom and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man. Superstars, sex symbols, idols, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, this is a major step in God's wrath, and you can see how far things have gone. Therefore, God gave us over in the sinful desires of our hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of our bodies with one another. So when we talk about sexual revolution, a lot of this traces back to Kinsey's writings in 1948, filled with perversion and misinformation. And that helped pave the way for some of the mindset that swung into place in the sexual revolution of the 60s. The sexual revolution we could look at as a result of God's wrath. In other words, God giving people over to sin because of their rejection of him. He gave us over, this is what I wrote almost 20 years ago, to degrading lustful acts, promiscuity, pornography, free sex are curses rather than blessings. They defile the human race, but it gets worse. Romans 1:25. We exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served creative things rather than the Creator, which is a description of modern pleasure-crazed America. So because of this, God gave us over to shameful lusts. Romans 1:26, lesbianism, homosexuality. This is the next stage in the revelation of his wrath. Again, if we're reading Romans 1 and see how one thing leads to another, not that every homosexual goes from heterosexual sin into homosexual sin. In fact, it rarely happens like that, except for those that would call themselves bisexual. But I'm just looking at a progression in terms of a downward decline in society and see how it parallels what's written here in Romans 1. Even our women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Again, when we go outside of God's boundaries, we reap the rewards of it, the negative rewards. Look, a man and woman can keep themselves pure until they're married, and then as a married couple, have a wonderful, healthy relationship, a vibrant, intimate sexual relationship, and they'll never get a sexually transmitted disease. But they go and do the same things outside of wedlock, and they might well get a sexually transmitted disease. I think something like one in every four teenage girls in America today has some type of STD, some of them lifelong, they won't be able to get rid of. And then all of the perversions, the same-sex perversions, and all of the other manifestations and the undoing and blurring of gender, etc., is this part of God giving us over to our own ways? And then the deadly STDs that people suffer from. And then it goes on, and I'm just putting we and us here. Furthermore, since we did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, Romans 1, which is an awesome description of secular humanism, he gave us over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. We become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. We are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. It goes on. We disobey our parents, are senseless, faithless, heartless. Come on, murdering the fruit of the womb, ruthless. How many serial killers are around today? And yet it goes further, though. Although sinners know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve wrath, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Yes, America has hit bottom. Perverts are now privileged. Abortion activists are adored. AIDS-stricken homosexuals are heroes. We venerate the degenerate. People of God, awake. The judgment is already here. and then I lay out all of the reasons for saying that. This is almost 20 years ago. Of course, we continue to decline. One of my friends, one of our grads from our ministry school, watched the segment that I did on Tyra Banks a few weeks ago and sent me a little song he wrote. He's written hundreds of songs, and it's about this twisted world. In fact, we come back on the other side of the break. I want to play a little clip of that. Can this twisted world be fixed, repaired? And a couple of other very interesting audio clips I want you to hear. So, have we gone too far? Has wrath already been released? Is there a way back? If so, what? 866-34-TRUTH. Stay with us. We'll be back. Are we on a slippery slope? Is everything heading downward and going to crash? Is that what God's word is telling us? Is that what prophetic voices are telling us? Or is that the voice of pessimism, skepticism, cynicism that has no hope in God, no hope of revival, no sense of the best is yet to come? 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Let me ask you this as directly as I can. America as a nation, are our best days ahead of us or behind us? America as a nation, are our best days ahead of us or behind us? Let me just play a clip. My friend Charles Sepiel, one of our grads, had written hundreds of songs, and he happened to watch the clip where I was on Tyra Banks the other day and wrote this, was inspired to write. So this is just him and his guitar. He hasn't put all the instruments together. And in fact, before I play that for you, I was just looking at the most recent responses to the YouTube clip of when I was on Tyra Banks. Someone put the entire show on there. So again, talking about transgender children, so-called, and those whole sensitive, painful issues, but trying to approach this in a totally different way than the whole show was going. And it's got like 19,000 views so far on YouTube, so few people looking at it. But I'm looking at some of the comments, which reflect how messed up things are. When I was on, remember the whole show, in case you don't know what happened, the whole show was little kids, 6, 7, 8 years old. The boy is now a girl. The little boy goes to school dressed as a girl, vice versa. And then this one's hormone blocker, is going to have sex change surgery, and on and on. It was tragic to watch. And then one little segment I had, I was going to be opposite a transgender activist, a mom whose own teenage child, yes, a boy or girl, whatever it is, and the mom said, fine, that's who you really are, and has backed their child in a sex transition. And then a doctor who's a male-to-female transsexual, okay, a man who became a woman through sex change, so obviously still a man on the inside, and now does sex change surgery. That person was next to me, and it was hard for me to get a word in edgewise. So a lot of the comments on YouTube, people are really ticked with the other participants because I didn't get to say much. But to show you how messed up things are, it says they wouldn't even let him talk, speaking about me. He's the priest. So I became a priest. Yet they're the ones who sound like preachers with their whole love, love, love stuff, etc. And then these women are ignorant. The psychiatrist, that's me. So I'm a priest and a psychiatrist, made a rational argument. The woman didn't let him finish or talk. I wouldn't say they're ignorant. We had profound differences. But here's the most interesting comment. The dude, that was me, because I'm male. The dude was the only one speaking any sanity. The chickified dude, that was the man next to me who had sex change surgery, was just rude and silly. So I'm the dude. This is the chickified dude. This is the world we live in today, friends. Hate to bring it to your attention again, but this is the world that we are living in. So this was just the beginning of the song that my friend wrote, our grad, after watching this clip.
What a twisted world we live in. twisted world we live in. What a twisted world we live in. All the more reason to shine some light. All the more reason to shine. Woe to you who call evil good. Woe to you who put darkness for light. Woe to you obsessed to defy the basic laws of nature. Woe to you who think you're so smart. What a twisted world.
All right, so you get an idea of where that's going. And when he had sent me his note about watching the show, I said, hey, in this darkness, all the more reason to shine the light. The position that we hold to, that there is moral ground that we have to stand for, there is right and wrong that we have to stand for, and if we don't, there is a slippery moral slope. That's constantly mocked by those who differ with us, and particularly gay activists would differ and say, look, same-sex marriage, is that going to lead to all kinds of perversions? In fact, Joey, let's listen to this clip. This is a YouTube clip mocking the idea that once you say that same-sex, quote, marriage is okay, that it's going to lead to all kinds of other horrible perversions in the society. So this is a girl talking to, I guess it's supposed to be a reverend or a Catholic priest.
But Pastor Rick, why can't gay marriage be legal?
It's a slippery slope, my child. You allow one form of bad behavior, you must allow them all.
Why? Couldn't we, like, use our own judgment?
Let me explain to you how it would go.
He's sitting reading his Bible, and he gets a call. Gay marriage has been legalized. So you can hear the sound. Oh, it's just, no, oh no. Oh no! Oh no! Not gay marriage legalized. I'm just adding.
Sorry, like
here we go.
My Yorkie.
No, you can't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Father, but once you legalize gay marriage, it's a slippery slope to legalizing all conceivable forms.
There's a guy who wants to marry his dog.
Okay, fine. Just come in. Just hurry. No.
Hi, I'd like to marry my 12-year-old nephew.
You're gonna have sex with him?
I should think so.
There should be laws against this.
Oh, yeah, it's a slippery slope, dude.
Come on. Just you and the dog guy, and that's it. Gay marriage may seem fine, but it's a gateway marriage. Next thing you know, it's dogs, kids, relatives. What's next?
Now look at this. Uh-oh.
Oh. You're not.
I got a whole mess of corpses I've been itching to
marry. Corpses?
Why would a man who has sex with corpses be interested in marriage law?
Slippery slope, preacher. Slippery slope.
All right, John. Joey, we can cut it there. So the whole thing is just, right, sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, slippery slope. All going down. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, legalize same-sex marriage between couples that care about each other deeply and want to spend the rest of their lives together and make a serious commitment, civil people, caring people that want to have families, etc. Legalize that. Oh, yeah, right. Now what's going to come next? Going to want to marry your dog? Going to want to marry your nephew? You want to marry a corpse? So, of course, the homosexual activist side makes a complete mockery of that. Question is there really a slippery slope? Are we on it too far to come back? Is this myth? Is this reality? And again, are America's best days ahead of us or behind us? Can this twisted world be fixed, repaired? We'll answer it. Stay with us. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back to to the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are America's best days behind us or ahead of us? Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Two things I want to remind you of. Tomorrow, my interview with Sam Shamoon. He is a Muslim apologist, evangelist to the Muslim people dealing with Muslim apologetics. So Sam's going to be on with me. We'll be able to take calls during the show, but I want to get as much time interviewing Sam as well. So we're going to talk about the power of Islam, what the appeal of it is to so many people, what its basic theology is, and then some simple keys, some of the foundational keys that have to be overcome in reaching Muslims with the gospel. So we will be talking about that. Also, excuse me, March 4th and 5th, put this on your calendar if you live anywhere in the world, planet Earth, okay? In particular, anywhere near Charlotte, but anywhere in the States, Thursday night, March 4th, Friday day, March 5th, we have our Discover Fire Days. Look, we are not trying to get more students in the school so we can have a bigger school. No. We have a commission. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. He said that almost 2,000 years ago. You know, there are more people today, far, 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 far more people today who have never heard the gospel than were alive in Jesus' day. There is a commission to raise up and send out laborers to the nations and to raise up and send out world changers right here all over America. And that's why we exist as a school, to equip, to send out. So find out about FIRE, whether you are 50 years old and thinking about retirement and now know there's a calling, you got to do more, whether you are just out of high school and praying about your next step. FIRE School of Ministry, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on FIRE School of Ministry, and check out Discover FIRE. Sorry for this mild little cough. It seems this time of the year, it's happened a few times already, just seasonal changes, whatever, and speaking, traveling. Anyway, I will overcome this and not clear my throat in your ears. All right. There are different parts of America where God is moving, where the Holy Spirit is being poured out. I'm not talking about just some flaky, weird report. I'm talking about where people are turning to God in repentance. And when I see that happening, I personally do not have the sense that God is just saying, okay, I want a few people to be right with me before I pour out judgment and wipe everybody out. I genuinely believe that things can be turned back still in our nation. Now, let's talk about the slippery slope thing for a moment. Is there a slippery slope once you open the door to, say, same-sex, quote, marriage, that it opens the door to other forms of, quote, marriage? Of course. Of course it's true. You say, oh, I've heard that argument for years. Well, we don't need to speculate. It's true. There are cases now in different parts of the world and in America, court cases dealing with like, say, a brother and a sister, didn't know each other, separated from birth, grew up separately, got to know each other much later, and then fell in love, started a family, etc. This happened, the most notable case in Germany. And of course, they're fighting, saying, look, it's just an antiquated law, incest, that we can't be together, brother and sister. I mean, look, on what basis? You say, well, it can be damaging to kids. Well, hang on, what if it's a brother and brother? It can't be damaging because you can't have kids between them. What if they agree not to have kids? Or what if there are problems for kids raised in same-sex households, like some say there are? Many studies would indicate that there are, because they are going to not have proper role models and have things missing in their lives. Okay, let's put that aside for a minute. This couple in Germany is using some of the very same arguments, for the courts that same-sex marriage people are using, and even pointing to developments. Look, same-sex marriage, people can be married in this country. There's just antiquated laws. Same with incest. So this is already being argued. Here in America, similar cases are being argued. Stuff before the courts. Okay, how about what's called polyamory, better known as polygamy? Well, polyamory, you don't actually have to have a marriage, but this is multiple, quote, loving, open relationships, maybe two guys and three girls, whatever the mess is. major article in major news magazine a couple months back saying, look, you know, people may not want to know this is coming, but this is coming. This is the next big change. Look, HBO has a series, what's it called? Big Love, which is about polygamous family. Those living in Utah be even more sensitive to these issues because of the history of Mormonism. Of course there's a slippery slope. Of course there is. Once you say that marriage is no longer the union of a man and a woman with certain societal purposes in mind, and it just becomes the union of two people, why not three people or four people? Why not two people more closely related, etc.? On what grounds can you say no? And once we become desensitized that this is okay, that's okay, that's okay, then where does one draw the line? Once we are branded antiquated religious bigots based on strong biblical moral convictions and things that have proven to be societal foundations for centuries, then on what basis do you oppose other things coming our way? Look, the fact is polygamy is less of a violation of biblical standards than is, quote, same-sex marriage. You ever thought of that? The fact is, you still have the union of a man with a woman here, multiple women, and it's certainly not God's ideal and contrary to his created order and contrary to the goals of the New Testament as well. But polygamy, which most Americans, the great majority of Americans, are still, oh, no way, man, with multiple wives, no way. That is still less of a violation, of biblical norms and what is healthy and best for society than a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. Just fundamental getting out of the order of man and woman come together, the two become one. Gender complementarity, reflection of the full image of God in male, female, the combination that is able to reproduce. I mean, look, we're not looking to the exception to the rule, those that can't. We're looking at the norm that they can. Because if you have, quote, same-sex household, then you guarantee if you bring kids into that environment, in vitro fertilization or whatever the case is, or someone having a child from a previous relationship, you bring a child into that, you guarantee them. We're not talking about single-parent homes now. You guarantee them that they will have neither a father or a mother. Either no father or no mother. Guaranteed in the setup then, as opposed to a single-parent household where there's the possibility of a second parent of the opposite sex coming in the scene. Yeah. Oh, but, God is moving. God is moving. People have been praying and crying out and seeking his face. Oh, I think we are in a very dire situation here in America. I think this is the most critical time in many ways in our history. But we've been messed up before. We've been very messed up before. We have been horrifically messed up in certain ways, more messed up than today, and today, in other ways, far more messed up than ever. And as dire as it is, I believe there is still hope if we turn to God. If we play games, friends, it's over. If we don't catch on to the urgency of the hour, if we just want church as usual, life as usual, forget it. It ain't going to be as usual. But if we wake up and turn to God, it is not too late. I want to play an encouraging clip when we come back. Stay with us. Thanks for being with us on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org if you'd like to email me directly. By the way, our show tomorrow, this is not a Muslim leader who got saved. This is a Christian who does apologetic work reaching out to Muslims. If you want to check out a website that he works with, go to answeringislam.org. Okay. Back to this subject of repentance. It is easy to look out at the world and see how messed up things are. It is easy to look out at the world and see what they are doing, all the terrible things they are doing, all the sin happening out there. I am personally more concerned about what's happening among God's people. I am personally more concerned about judgment beginning with the house of God. I'm personally concerned about those who have the truth of the word and those who have a certain light from God, not walking in it. To whom much is given, much is required. And if there's anything that concerns me, the state of our society and where things are going, and you know, of course, we've been focused on dealing with homosexual activism while reaching out to the individuals, the people with compassion. But in point of fact, my greater concern is what's happening in the church, what's happening among God's people, the lowering of our standards, the insensitivity among us. And there was a meeting taking place in Kansas City. Someone just sent me a clip from YouTube where they're calling, especially young people, college age there, maybe 1,500, 2,000 that are there, and they're calling on them to repent. But I want you to hear just a segment of this altar call.
Some of us think we've turned because we have turned away from overt sin. We have turned away from those things that even the world acknowledges as sin. But beloved, in the Word of God, it's not enough to turn away from that which the unsaved call sin. It's about the compromise. It's about the things that hinder the power and the presence of God in our lives. And so many of us, we're more American than we are Kingdom of God. We're more Western culture than we are Kingdom of God. And we say, we're not in sin, but you're in deep compromise. You're in allegiance with the spirit of the age. Beloved, a young lady emailed us. She threw away her movies. Beloved, I'm not talking about pornography. I'm not talking about deep horror R-rated movies. I'm talking about primetime TV shows. She threw them away, and the Lord began delivering her from demonic strongholds that she had no idea she had, because she's in league with the spirit of the age. Many of you, your heroes are those who are TV idols. Many of you are watching supermodels on TV and in TV shows. You're going, I wish I was like them. I wish I was like that. I wish I was like Jack Bauer. Where do you think he's going to go? What do you think he's going to say when he stands before the judgment seat? And you're getting entertained by that?
Amen to that altar call. You hear people crying out and some weeping in the background. You see, it's so easy for us to look at what's happening in the world and the sin of the world and the abomination. Look at all the pornography. Look at all the violence, people kidnapping children for child abuse, sexual abuse. It's horrific. And all the abortions and all the gay activism and on and on and on and on and on. Yes. All kinds of sin. We talked a few days back about if there's one sin in America that God would damn us for, what sin would that be? We talked about that. But what causes me to tremble on the inside is these sins are in the church. These sins are among church leaders. These sins are among those preaching Jesus and holding up Bibles behind the pulpit. These sins are in our own midst. And often, in subtle ways, as this brother was saying, giving this altar call in Kansas City, It's not just the things that are so terribly obvious and grievous, but our identification with the whole spirit of the age. We don't realize it, that the heroes of the world are our heroes, that the superstars of the world are the ones that we look to and we're entertained by, where so many of them are unclean and setting unclean examples, and the whole spirit of where it's going is so contrary to the spirit of the Lord. Are we of the world? Are we of the world? Or are we of the Lord? More to come. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Thanks for being with us today. Michael Brown talking about the twisted nation that we live in. Have we been given over to wrath? Is it too late? Have we gone too far down the slippery slope? What about repentance movements, prayer movements taking place in America? Could it be that America's best days are ahead? Let me reflect on this a little bit further, give you some practical thoughts. Number one, if you have an end times theology that everything is going down and that things are only going to get darker before Jesus returns, right? Things are only going to get darker before Jesus returns, then you would probably be prone to say, well, everything's going down the tubes, look at where we're at. But I defy you to prove to me from Scripture that you can guarantee that we are in that last generation and that everything is going to come down before Jesus returns. That's the first thing. What if he doesn't return for 100 years? 100 years? Well, it could be. Hey, I got saved 71. People I got saved with were not necessarily thinking they're going to be here almost 40 years later. And people in the previous generation that were looking for Jesus to come any minute, they certainly weren't expecting it. And people who wrote 1,000, 1,500, 1,800 years ago that this is it, this is the end of the age, they were not expecting the world to be here this much longer. So how do you know? Maybe you'll be in the generation that sees the greatest revival of any generation in history. Around the world, more people are getting saved every day than any other time in world history. Around the world, here, I just got a testimony. I can't tell you where. But in a third world nation, I was just asked not to, so I'm gonna be totally vague about it, but I got the pictures and everything. Someone came in to a village. I mean, we're talking thatched hut roof village. Came in to a village, began preaching the gospel. They had a mosque there. So many people got saved. They were meeting in a thatched hut roof little place themselves. That was their church building. But so many Muslims were getting saved, including Muslim leaders, that it was suggested, why don't we renovate the mosque and make that into the church building? And I've actually got the pictures of this. I mean, I've actually got pictures of this. Look, there are parts of Africa, for example, where 100 years ago, there was maybe 1% or less professing Christian, majority Muslim, and then animist, tribal religion, and now the majority of the country is professing Christian. Yeah, they may need more discipling and growing in God, but you're talking about gospel revolution happening in much of the world. And let's also remember that in the glory days of American history, we still had slavery. In the glory days of great outpourings, you know, the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, we still had slavery in our country. And there were times in particular, say after the Revolutionary War, so that early on in our history, late 1700s, where there was basically apostasy on the college campuses that were founded for gospel purposes. Oh, in the natural, it's hopeless. In the natural, things have gone too far. But we're not talking the natural. We're talking about with God. So I want to encourage you to search your own heart. Repentance begins in our own lives. We can point fingers all we want, but repentance begins in our own lives, in my life, your life. Let's search our hearts and ask, Lord, is there any unclean thing in me? Let's search our hearts and say, okay, God, I want to please you, heart, mind, soul, strength. Anything unclean, anything defiling, anything destructive, I turn from it in Jesus' name. Give me the grace to truly repent from the heart. Renew your heart and mind with the Word of God. Put away things that you know are unclean. If you're not sure about it, just put it away for a season and get resensitized in God. We have been so desensitized by culture. Friends, let us be resensitized in God, a people after his own heart. And as repentance begins with us, who knows where it might spread in our church, in our community, in our city, in our nation. I believe in God. The best for America could be still to come. My hope is in Jesus and him alone. With him, all things are possible. All right, tomorrow we'll be back with Sam Shamoon focusing on Islam.
This is the Truth Radio Network.